Horses still run wild in the American West, so many of them that federal agencies occasionally go out and round them up for sale and adoption. The Modoc National Forest in far northeastern California is home to a herd of wild horses, and federal agents and contractors began rounding up many of them in October. In late November, people and organizations concerned about the fate of those horses filed suit in federal court in San Francisco. Those organizations include the American Wild Horse Campaign, where Suzanne Roy is the campaign director and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Suzanne, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Good morning, Jeffrey. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Good to have you here. Why were these horses in this place in Modoc National Forest targeted for roundup?
Well, they live in the Devil's Garden Wild Horse Territory within the Modoc National Forest, and that is a federally protected wild horse habitat area. The Forest Service has really failed in its management of these horses, and so there are probably about 3,500 of them now, and the Forest Service wanted to reduce the population, and so they rounded up 932 horses. The intent of the roundup is really to clear the public lands for commercial livestock grazing. So the reason the horses were rounded up in the particular area that they were rounded up in was so that there are two ranchers who hold permits to graze their private livestock on the public lands there. And the horses were removed so that those ranchers can turn out their commercial livestock again. So essentially, that's the purpose of the roundup. What's happening to the horses is, for the first time ever, a division of the federal government is proposing to sell federally protected wild horses for $1 a piece by the truckload without limitation on slaughter. And that right there is the focus of our lawsuit.
So $1 a piece, no questions asked about what the fate of the horses will be after that.
Correct, correct. So the Congress every year puts language in a spending bill, annual spending bill, that prohibits the Bureau of Land Management, which is the agency that manages by far the most wild horses in the West. Congress prohibits the BLM from selling wild horses and burros that are protected under federal law for slaughter. But the Forest Service, because it doesn't have a line item appropriation for their wild horse program, is technically not bound by that restriction. It's kind of like a loophole. And so previous administrations, under previous administrations, the Forest Service has always abided by the BLM's no slaughter policy. This marks a radical policy change for the Forest Service under the current administration, and that's, you know, that's the subject of our challenge.
So, Suzanne, has the Forest Service or somebody in the Agriculture Department overseeing the Forest Service said explicitly, yes, these horses will be slaughtered, or have they just not said?
They have said that they will offer the horses for sale without limitation on slaughter. Beginning first, it was December, then they bumped it to January. Now, because of our lawsuit, they've bumped it to February. But they don't say, you know, they haven't said specifically. The reality is that if they offer horses for $1 a piece by the truckload without limitation on slaughter, those horses are going to be purchased by middlemen that are known as kill buyers. Who purchase horses from auctions and places like that and send them across the border to slaughter plants in Canada and Mexico.
I was about to ask you if there was a domestic slaughter industry anymore, and it sounds like there isn't much of one, if at all.
Right. The last slaughterhouse in the United States closed in 2007. So there are no operating horse slaughter plants in the United States. The only ones are in Canada and Mexico, and those horse slaughter plants produce horse meat for human consumption in overseas markets, so some parts of Europe and Asia. is where the markets are.
All right, a lot to unpack here as we talk to Suzanne Roy, the campaign director at the American Wild Horse Campaign, which is one of several entities in federal court suing to stop the sale of horses that were rounded up in the Modoc National Forest in the Devil's Garden Horse Area in October. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Your questions, your comments are welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's go back and unpack some of what you've talked about here already, Suzanne. The permits that you said the ranchers have, this is really a desire to get cattle onto the land where there are now horses browsing the landscape. Are there grazing permits within the Devil's Garden horse area?
Yes, there are. And that's the crux of the issue here. The Forest Service claims that this habitat area, which is 500 square miles in size, can only support a maximum of 400 horses. But there's absolutely no scientific basis for that. And the only reason they're making that claim is that they're forcing these federally protected wild horses to compete with about 8,000 head of cattle and sheep that are authorized to graze the public lands within the Devil's Garden territory. So essentially, they're treating the public lands as a private feedlot for ranchers who receive big tax subsidies to graze livestock on the public lands. And so that's kind of the driving force behind the removals. The cattlemen have been pushing hard for a major reduction in the horse population there for that reason. And they're not all just small local farmers that rely on the public lands. There's some big cattle operations, as well as a Silicon Valley developer who has a grazing permit to graze cattle up there. So, and again, they're doing it. 94% of their costs are covered by the American taxpayers due to subsidies. So, it's a program that is costing taxpayers money, but it's also costing our wild horses their freedom and often their lives.
Now, the estimate on the number of horses up there in advance of the roundup was something like 3,500, wasn't it, Vera? Suzanne?
Yeah, about 3,500, they said.
Mm-hmm. And they rounded up 932?
That's correct, yeah.
All right, so we still have 2,600 horses in an area with that the Forest Service says can only support 400?
Right, they say it can only support 400, but there's literally no science behind that. It's the only reason it can support 400 is because they've given most of the forage away to private livestock. Over 8,000 cattle and sheep are authorized to graze the public land. So what we'd like to see happen is to increase the allowable number of horses on the territory by decreasing livestock grazing. You don't have to get rid of all livestock grazing, but there's such a disparity in resource allocation between private livestock and federally protected wild horses that we'd like to see a more equitable distribution. And then ultimately, we would like the Forest Service to manage these horses with birth control, not roundups. And we have offered to do a pilot program in the forest using a birth control vaccine that prevents fertilization and pregnancy, but does not impact the horse's health or their natural behaviors. And it's a recommended solution, recommended by the National Academy of Sciences. And so we would like to see the Forest Service move away from the failed approach of roundup and removal toward modern and scientific management of the horses with birth control.
I want to point out that we did reach out to the U.S. Forest Service because this is Modoc National Forest land we're talking about here in the Devil's mm-hmm. Garden horse area. And the response from USFS was, we politely declined your request for participation in the program. It's a very terse statement, but, you know, that is at least we got something out of the Forest Service. Mm-hmm. So you are, at the American Wild Horse Campaign, willing to consider some moves on birth control. I know there have been some suggestions for ways to do things that have come across as very controversial, and ultimately, the agencies in charge of horses backed off from doing those. What are the methods you don't want to see used? Why don't we start there?
Right. That was something that was recent in Oregon, actually, the method that we opposed was the surgical removal of mare's ovaries through a process called ovarectomy via colpotomy, which the National Academy of Sciences looked at in 2013 and said was inadvisable for a field setting because of the risk of bleeding and infection. It's a invasive surgery where they remove the ovaries of the horses. And since they're wild horses, they can't be given the kind of post-operative care that would be required if you do it on a domestic horse, like restricting their movement for a period of time and close monitoring and pain relief and all that stuff. So we actually sued over that as well. And the BLM just withdrew its decision record authorizing them to conduct those procedures on wild mares that they had just rounded up from the Warm Springs herd management area in Oregon.
Our guest again is Suzanne Roy, the campaign director of the American Wild Horse Campaign, one of the plaintiffs trying to stop the Forest Service from selling at auction horses that could be led off to slaughter from the Modoc National Forest Roundup in October. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Your questions, comments, thoughts are welcome here at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let's go a little broader, Suzanne, and talk about what some of the general goals of the American Wild Horse Campaign are, because there have been a few things, obviously, like we were just talking about, that you've opposed. I mean, do you think that the roundups should stop completely? There should be no more collection of horses on the range?
Well, what we'd like to see is the federal government move away from this roundup, remove, and stockpile approach to wild horse management, which doesn't work. The whole history of the program shows that it doesn't work. The National Academy of Sciences said it's actually making the problem worse by removing large numbers of animals every few years. You're actually creating something called compensatory reproduction, where the horses left on the range now have more resources and they reproduce at a higher than normal rate. So in essence, their management approach is creating the problem that they're complaining about, which is high population growth rates.
So the birth rate would be limited naturally by lack of food, do you think?
It would be if they allowed the populations to approach the carrying capacity of the land, but they don't do that because they hold them at a very artificially low number. So, the American Wild Horse Campaign believes that under the circumstances that exist today for wild horses, where they're forced to live in these boundaries of herd management areas that sometimes are cut off their migratory patterns and seasonal grazing opportunities, and because they live on lands where predators are killed, mountain lions are killed for the benefit of livestock industry as well as hunting. And so based on those, the conditions that the horses live in today are not really fully natural. And so some sort of management is required in most areas. And that's why we advocate for the humane PZP birth control vaccine, which has been around for 30 years and which in 2013, the National Academy of Sciences recommended that the BLM use. But you still have a situation where the BLM spends about 70% of its budget to round up, remove, and stockpile horses, and less than 1% on population management through birth control. So we're looking for a shifting of funding priorities to prevention, to addressing reproduction on the range instead of this tried and failed approach of rounding them up every 4 years and throwing them in holding pens.
And how many horses are in the holding pens now?
They're about, I think the latest was about 47 or 48,000 horses in holding pens.
And where?
They have two types of holding. One is short-term holding corrals, they call them, which are essentially feedlots for horses. And those are in mostly in the western states. There's one in Burns, Oregon. There's one in Susanville, California, in kind of in your neck of the woods. And then Nevada, Idaho, Utah, Colorado, Wyoming. There are these holding facilities. And those actually cost taxpayers a lot of money. They cost over $5 per day per horse to keep a horse in these feedlots, essentially. And you have about 13 to 15,000 wild horses in those holding pens. And then the rest of the horses are in long-term holding pastures. And those are primarily in the Midwest, kind of Kansas, Oklahoma. I think there's one in South Dakota. And those are, horses are held on large acreage, and it's much less expensive. It's like $1.45 per horse per day versus over $5. So that's a more cost-effective way of holding horses. But that's overall, that's a lot of horses in holding facilities.
Suzanne, what can you tell us about the response from the federal agencies to the suggestion of using the PZP, the birth control vaccine?
They say, oh, it's too difficult to vaccinate the mares. We're never going to. So there's different ways that you can administer the vaccine. The most common way is by remote darting. So you need to get within about 30 yards of the horse. And you can dart that horse with birth control. The dart falls out. You pick up the dart, and the horse just moves on. And it's a pretty non-invasive way to do it if you can get within 30 yards of the horse. So in many areas, you can't because they're very wild populations and also on large acreage. So the BLM has used the excuse that, oh, you can't dart every population of horses to say we can't use birth control. But there are other ways of doing it. You can bait trap the horses. You can bring them in either using water or feed, like a tasty alfalfa mix or whatever, get the horse acclimated to the pen, and then close the gate, dart the horses, let them go. And so you can do it that way. And the BLM has just been unwilling to sort of think outside the box of their roundup scenario and look at how other innovative ways that we can get the vaccine into horses. Also, horses are very sort of regular in their movement patterns. So once you know where their water sources are, you can, you know, get within proximity of the horses. It basically just involves getting out in the field and learning about the horses that they're managing and figuring out, you know, bait trapping or other opportunities to get the vaccine into the horses.
Suzanne Roy is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the campaign director at the American Wild Horse Campaign. We're talking in general terms about wild horse management, but also about the lawsuit that the American Wild Horse Campaign, along with the Animal Legal Defense Fund and Carla Bowers, filed on behalf of horses rounded up in the Modoc National Forest in October. So where do things go now with the suit? You asked for an injunction for a hearing on the injunction. The hearing, I guess, you were asking for something in early January. Has it been scheduled?
Yes, it has. The Forest Service agreed to put off sale of the horses without limitation on slaughter until mid-February, and so the judge has scheduled a hearing for January 24th at U.S. District Court in San Francisco. So that's when the hearing will be, and then he'll have plenty of time to issue a decision before the Forest Service intends to start selling the horses for slaughter.
Okay, so one of the original dates we'd heard for the slaughter the sale, I should say, would have been on January 15th, but that clearly is not going to happen because the hearing won't happen until the 24th. So where are the horses awaiting their fate? What happens to them? They could just get fed in the meantime, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, it's a concern. So about when they rounded up 932 horses, they sent about 260 of the older horses, age 10 and over, mostly age 10 and over, to corrals that have been specially constructed to hold them in the Modoc National Forest. They call them the Double Devil Corrals. And they're being managed right now by the Farm Bureau. The Forest Service has a contract with the Farm Bureau to manage the horses. And the Farm Bureau personnel, they do not have any wild horse handling experience. And so we've observed some really concerning things in terms of the handling and the housing of the horses there. The rest of the horses, the younger horses under age 10, were sent to the BLM Litchfield corrals in Susanville, near Susanville. And those horses are being prepared for adoption. However, under the law, any horse put up for adoption three times and not adopted becomes sale eligible. So even though those 700-some horses or 600-some horses are not in immediate danger of being sold for slaughter, they are in long-term danger of being sold for slaughter if we don't shut down that option through our lawsuit.
I'm going to ask you for a hot potato here because we got an email from John and Eugene who just wants you to think in the minute we have left about addressing the fact that wild horses are feral, not natural part of the wilderness. You got livestock, which are not natural, horses, which are not natural, and then the true wild characteristics of our public lands. How do we balance those?
Well, we balance, first of all, the horse is a native North American wildlife species that evolved here. It's considered a reintroduced native wildlife species. Yeah. But second of all, it's a balancing act, and the horses are overwhelmingly outnumbered by private livestock on our public lands. And the horses are limited to just a very small habitat within the public lands. It's just 12% of all BLM lands, and only 17% of the lands that are grazed by livestock are inhabited by wild horses. So we're just talking about, you know, a small part of the public lands where wild horses are allowed to live in recognition of their significance to our country and historical significance, cultural significance.
Okay, Suzanne, I'm sorry, we have to pick it up another day, but a lot going on still with wild horses in the West. Suzanne Roy at the American Wild Horse Campaign, thank you.